The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast. Presentations and interviews with leading attorneys and industry professionals. On this edition, Christopher Doggett of Financial Recovery Technologies on unclaimed class action settlement funds. The opinions expressed by guests interviewed on LexisNexis Legal Podcasts do not necessarily reflect those of Reed Elsevier Incorporated, LexisNexis, subsidiary companies, shareholders, employees, or customers, and should not be considered legal advice. Christopher Doggett is Executive Vice President of Financial Recovery Technologies. Previously, Mr. Doggett was a vice president at the world's largest privately held information security company and held various strategic and business development positions in the technology industry at several other firms. Mr. Doggett holds an MBA and an MS in Management Information Systems from Boston University, with concentrations in strategy, marketing, and operations. He received his BA from the Colorado College. Chris, thanks for being here.
You're welcome, Steve. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I want to ask you about an interesting niche area, the process for collecting investor funds that have been made available as the result of securities class action settlements. You hear about these in the news from time to time. You hear about them when they're filed many times. You don't always hear about them settling as much, but sometimes when they do, people get a notice in the mail when class actions have settled. And there are actually quite a few of these every year, aren't there?
There are, Steve. There are about 250 or so cases that are filed every year. They take typically 4 or 5 years, although sometimes, you know, these cases can take up to 10 years to settle. And so we see about 100 cases a year that are settling out. And that's been pretty steady over the last several years. About 60% of the cases settle. Most of them don't actually go to trial. They settle out of court. And the remaining amount are dismissed. And it's a pretty interesting little industry. Most people, as you said, you know, get a notice in the mail or something, and they think, well, you know, what's this going to be worth to me, or you know, how much is really going to come of this? And a lot of them end up in the trash, so to speak. But really, there's real money there. There are billions of dollars every year in settlements that are made available to investors.
Then, how do affected investors claim their settlement funds, and how often does this happen?
Well, it doesn't happen as often as you would think. The process is fairly simple. It's actually pretty old-fashioned, amazingly old-fashioned for where we are today in general with technology. Most people get a paper notice in the mail.
Right.
That's forwarded to them by their custodian or the investment firm that they invest with. And this includes, as well, firms themselves will get notices this way. So there's obviously an opportunity for that to get misdirected or go to the wrong address or not get delivered or even sorted out as junk mail. And that's probably the first place where the process can fail for folks. But they get a notice that says if you held, you know, XYZ stock between these dates and these dates and bought and sold it between these dates and these dates, you may be eligible to receive a settlement that's been the result of a lawsuit. And they have to fill out the paperwork and send that paperwork in, and you know, sometime down the road, might be a year later, might be 2 years later, they may or may not get something back from a claims administrator that relates to their filing. So it's a pretty old-fashioned process without a lot of feedback. You asked how many people file? Surprisingly few. Of these cases, about 70% of the investors who are eligible to file are institutions. So these might be mutual funds or pension funds or hedge funds and the like. The other 30% or so are retail investors, so individuals who have invested directly in a stock. Of those two groups, only about 35% of the institutional investors historically who are eligible have filed a claim.
Really?
Yeah, it's shocking. It's, you know, 2/3 that are eligible don't actually file a claim historically. And if we look at the retail side, it's even less. Retail investors, about 5% of retail investors actually will file. So most of the eligible people who held the stock don't file a claim. And part of that's this antiquated process, and part of it's just sort of the now outdated mindset that, this probably won't relate, you know, won't amount to much for me, so it's not worth me taking the time to figure it out.
It's amazing that so many would not try to claim those funds.
It is. It's really amazing. A lot of folks, you know, can't be bothered, or they don't think it's going to be worthwhile. And a lot of times they can't get their hands on the relevant information. I mean, this might relate to, you know, a stock that they bought and sold, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, and they just don't have the records anymore to even know if they fall into that eligible period, much less, you know, pull together all the data to submit that claim.
I imagine there could be a number of pitfalls to the process of trying to claim some of these funds. What are those pitfalls, if any, and how can claimants possibly avoid them?
You're right. There are actually a lot of pitfalls, which is why those numbers are as few as they are in terms of actual filings. The first one I've kind of already outlined, which is, you know, the notification process. There's sort of a cascading effect that needs to happen between one institution and another institution, communicating when these settlements happen and getting the news out to the beneficial owner. And that beneficial owner might be an institution, might be an individual, but it's got to make its way through this antiquated process. Now, some institutions will have electronic notifications as well, but they still have to try to figure out how to get that information to the relevant party, if it's an individual investor, et cetera. And, you know, many firms and many individuals switch who they invest their money with. Institutions may switch custodians. They may, you know, change their portfolio management systems. Individuals may switch firms that they invest with. And so they may actually have to be piecing this together across different sets of data or statements or systems, which is what makes it more difficult in terms of, you know, knowing who to notify, whether or not they're eligible, et cetera, and for the institutions and people that are eligible to figure it out. So that first part, just knowing that there's been a settlement that relates to you that you can file a claim on, is tough. And it's not something that's easy for folks to do who don't have a system or a process to handle that. Once you know you're eligible, that's just the first step in the process. So some of the other pitfalls would include getting all that data, filling out the paperwork properly, putting together all your trade records, submitting that and in a correct format. And that there are, you know, a number of hurdles where things can go wrong there. For example, don't know that a stock has changed symbols. What was the symbol C may have been, you know, was Chrysler and now it's Citibank. And they may not be able to get their hands on the data, they may pull the wrong data, or they may just not pull all the data that relates to the case. Some of these cases have, you know, dozens or even hundreds of different securities that relate to the case itself. And so, you know, you might pull the common stock, but not pull, you know, the options, let's say. So there are lots of places where you can fail to get the right data submitted into the claims administrators who process this. And then the other problem is, when it comes back to you, maybe a year, 2 years late, 2 years later, you get a check back from the claims administrator. Well, how do you know that check is in the right amount? How do you know that you part of your filing wasn't rejected without you being notified, or that there wasn't a mistake made? And so there are a lot of challenges to people. This is a very sort of dark corner of financial services where people have a really hard time getting things together to file and then knowing what they get back, you know, what to do with it and if it's the right amount, et cetera.
Oh, wow. So somebody might receive a check. There's an amount on the check, but it may not be the proper amount. How does someone then ensure that they've received all of the funds that they may be entitled to?
That's a great question. What you really need to be able to do is you need to be able to essentially do a calculation. So you need to take, you know, the eligible trades or positions that you had in the relevant securities and apply the rules of the settlement. So when these lawsuits are settled, there will be a set of rules that are laid out as to what the recognized loss for the investor is. That's not the market loss. That's the loss according to the judgment or the ruling in the case. So even in some cases, you may see a stock appreciate in value, but maybe it didn't appreciate as much as it should have in the eyes of the settlement or in the eyes of the court. And so there's a formula that you can take if you read all the rules of the case, which is called the plan of allocation. And you calculate that out, you can figure out, well, according to this case, my recognized loss was, I don't know, let's say $100 for the sake of argument. So that's the first piece to this figuring this out. And the second piece is when the settlement is dispersed, there's a pro rata ratio that's paid out to each investor based on, and the amount of their check is based on what their recognized loss was. So if the pro rata ratio is 10% and my loss was $100, then I should be getting a $10 check, right? So you need to be able to figure that out by taking the rules, turning it into a formula, and then getting the pro rata ratio when the case pays out. Problem is, it's very, very labor intensive, and some of these cases are very complex in terms of what that formula would look like, so to speak. And so realistically, for somebody to do that by hand, it's just very difficult to do without it consuming a tremendous amount of time. But as I mentioned, if you don't know that, then you have no way of knowing if the check you received was the right amount or not. And more frequently than you would think, the checks aren't in the right amount.
We started out talking about it, and you mentioned too that the billions of dollars in some cases that go unclaimed. What happens to the funds that remain unclaimed?
Well, a couple of things can happen. First of all, if 3 out of 10 people who are eligible to file, and the other 7 don't, the amount that those 3 get, the pro rata ratio I mentioned earlier, will be higher because they're splitting the pie up amongst fewer people. So that's the first piece of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. The second piece of the puzzle is that if there's a lot more left over than was anticipated, there may be additional settlement pools that are set up and additional notifications, and this process sort of starts all over again where, you know, there's a second or maybe even a third or fourth disbursement to the affected investors. So you have to know that those filings are, you know, those settlement disbursements are occurring and file the appropriate paperwork, et cetera. If there's money left over after that, it then becomes the discretion of the judge where that money goes. And so often that'll go to charity, for example, or it may go back to the company or may go into unclaimed property. So there's a variety of things that can happen after that. The amazing thing is that so much money is missed. We frequently work with institutions that are trying to do this internally, and you'd be shocked at how much we're able to uncover that otherwise would have gone unclaimed. Even where they're filing claims, it's not uncommon for us to see millions of dollars being missed because of some of the challenges I talked about earlier with not pulling the right amount of data or filling out the paperwork properly, et cetera. And it's one of those processes that's really a black box, if you will, and it's difficult for people to handle it, you know, appropriately and get all their money.
And obviously, this is where financial recovery technologies can come into play. How long have you folks been in business?
We're just about to enter our 3rd year, and we're one company of several companies that really specializes in heavy-duty paper processing or paper-intensive claims processes. We're a member company of a company called the Cross Country Group, which has been around for about 40 years, which specializes in working in the automotive and real estate space. And our firm, Financial Recovery Technologies, focuses on this particular part of financial services, filing claims for institutions to recover funds from class action settlements.
And if somebody listening wanted to find out more about FRT's services, where would you direct them?
Best place to go is our website. That's frtservices.com, or they can give us a call directly. I would welcome a call from any institution that would like to contact us. And I'm cdoggett@frtservices.com.
Well, Chris, it's really been interesting learning about the process for collecting some of these funds when they become available. And I appreciate your taking time out to explain the process a little bit, some of the pitfalls, and talking a little bit about what you folks do.
Oh, absolutely, Steve. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and appreciate you guys doing this.
Christopher Doggett, Executive Vice President of Financial Recovery Technologies. Thank you for listening to this LexisNexis Legal Podcast. Visit the LexisNexis communities at www.lexisnexis.com/community. The LexisNexis Corporate and Securities Law Community Podcast, copyright 2011 by LexisNexis, a division of Reed Elsevier Incorporated. I'm Steve Bursler. Thanks for listening.